us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Go away!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Bigney.
Hello, you're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Brad Bigney, with my wife by my side.
We're back.
Always better together. And to keep growing with us, follow the podcast. I don't know how you listen to it, but follow it on Apple, Spotify, or Amazon. And if you're on Apple, a review is a huge help. Or if you're on Spotify, a star rating goes a long way, but there's nothing quite like verbal or text recommendation to a friend. If you've been helped, get the word out that God is using this. And that's who I want you to be reminded of this doing. It's God through us. This is what God did in us that we believe God would love to do in you. There's nothing about us that made us candidates for a breakthrough, because that's what it was. It was just a breakthrough. God did it. But I hope you've heard, both of us were at a point that we're like, you know what? I can't make this happen. Mm-hmm. God, what do you say? That did push us into a zone where God loves to traffic.
Yeah, I think we were both just so desperate for change and help. We were willing to do anything God showed us. And that was a really good place to be when you're just totally broken before the Lord and say, God, whatever you show me, I'm willing to work on or change.
Because some of you might say, I'm not happy. Some of you would say, I'm absolutely miserable. But believe it or not, what sometimes is missing is, are you desperate?
Mm-hmm.
Desperate is what leads you to, I'll do whatever God says. And by God's grace, that's what we both did. We both kind of reached that point. And it's hard when one gets there and the other still isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
In his mercy, we both got there about the same time. So, ooh, there's hope for you. But so much of where it starts has to do with the words that are coming out of your mouth. Because, words matter. Words matter. How they land on your spouse. Because they're not just landing on the eardrum of your spouse. They're landing on their life. They impact your spouse, either for good or for bad, either for life or for death. And so we're talking about an article that I ran across that, wow, really seemed to capture what I have seen in our own relationship, and I see it in others as I counsel. What sets some couples apart from others that make them healthy regarding what they talk about? In other words, we're talking about, what should we be talking about? And the first thing that we dug into was, number one, they're willing to talk about the state of the relationship itself. How are you doing? How are you feeling? I know it was a hard week. Do you feel supported? You want to do what makes them feel appreciated. You share a memory. When you have a happy thought, you verbalize it. And then we talked about, you just kind of form a loose, or maybe after a while, it's pretty regular habit of a daily check-in. We just touch base. You text each other or you phone call and say, how are you doing? But number two, we said they stay curious about what the other person is into. Whatever it is, Brad is still into music, and I would love for Vicky to show interest in the latest genre that I'm digging into. Oh my goodness, I have playlists, and then I divide my playlist into sub-playlists.
Uh-huh.
This morning I was listening to, in the bathroom while I shaved and showered, Andrea Bocelli. But I don't just have Andrea Bocelli on my playlist. I have it divided into, here's big songs where he roars, here's soft songs, and here's jazzy lounge.
Maybe you missed
songs.
Your calling.
I have three subcategories of Andrea Bocelli. And this morning, I know you're wanting to know, what did you choose, Brad? Big. Big. You know, it's those silly, time to say goodbye. And then you start singing in another language. Da, 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 da. Conte partirò. I do believe it's Italian. Time to say, oh, I feel moved right now, and it's just me. Do you feel moved? Maybe moving away from your device to get further from this sound. You stay curious about what they're into, whether it's terrariums or music. But here's Vermicast. A third Verbicast. Anybody remember?
Vermi. V-E-R-M-I. Verma?
Oh, see, I'm still learning. Vermicast.
Worm poop.
Right now, pop quiz. What is that? Worm poop. But here's a third category. He said they talk about the future. Oh, it is so easy to get sucked down into right here, right now. The immediate and the pace of life at which we go. Ooh, if you're not careful, it can just all feel like it's right here, right now, right here, right now, right here, right now. Do you know what breathes life into a relationship, but especially marriage, is to have a measure of what's next that we're talking about together. We're out there thinking, well, it doesn't have to be huge, brand new house. It might be, but talking. I think about, Vicky, even way back, you know, we've been here 30 years now, but I did not just look at Vicky one morning at breakfast and say, hey, I'm planting a church. We're leaving South Carolina. We're going to head to Northern Kentucky.
That would have been poor leadership, by the way.
That would have been very poor. I mean, we talked probably, 18 months to two years, I bet.
Talk, pray, discuss.
We would walk. Oh, my goodness. We would just take long walks, and we would talk, and we would talk, and we would talk.
Because he was trying to decide at our other church. He was worship leader and associate pastor. So he was trying
preaching
to decide.
Every now and then.
Do I want to be a senior pastor or a worship leader?
Yeah.
It was like 50-50,
so
which now
bubbled,
I can think.
It had
how
bubbled up inside of me
clearly?
Like I had an equal passion for preaching and counseling as I did for music. And you can see from just a moment ago, I have a passion for music. But for the first time ever in my life, I thought, oh, what if? Because I had spent years saying, I never want to be a lead pastor. I never want to. My friends were already doing it.
Like, which is hilarious.
Hey, Brad, when are you going to be a lead pastor? Never. But for the first time, I thought, what if I was a pastor who had more influence, more teaching? And so, man, we had long talks about that. That was out there in the future. And then we did pull the trigger. Uh-huh. I remember having maps laid out on the living room floor of our first little house we'd bought after Brook Pines apartment. And just looking at areas as I had contact with different churches and deciding, would we want to live there? Would we want to go there?
One was Hawaii, one was Arizona.
Yeah.
Those are two of our contenders.
One was Hawaii, one was Scottsdale, Arizona. But guess what we discovered? Super expensive. And so a pastor's salary was going to be rough there. So I remember talking about that. I remember even after we came here and did plant the church and begin, well, everything's not done. You think, ooh, should we, what should we add? What should we? I remember long conversations with Vicky as I played around in my mind, but it helped to get it out loud with her. What about an intentional leadership development ministry? You know, pastors always complain, where are the men? Where are the men? We just don't have deacons and elders and leaders. And I thought, well, everyone expects them to just show up. And so I had long talks with Vicky. I said, what do you think about a book a month where I by invitation only, I invite 12 to 14 guys that look like they have a leadership potential.
And then later we extended it to women too,
yeah.
Which was nice.
Then we started, wow, women of the word, and did it with the women. And then I still remember sitting on the front porch swing and saying to Vicky, I was trying to read a brand new book by Wayne Grudem, his Systematic Theology. I love Wayne. But I was kind of like struggling to keep going. I was like page 350 and there's like 1,200 pages. And I said, hey, what do you think if I added this as level two, that I take a group of guys who've been through Book a Month and we do Grudem, and I divide it up 100 pages at a time. So we're dreaming together.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking together. And even on a family level,
yeah,
we
I
had long
also,
discussions about how many kids should we have?
We often would talk about, okay, is it time to have another one? Do we want to have another one? Because we wanted to be open to what God wanted, but we also thought, okay, we only want to have as many children as we can truly train well.
Yeah.
We don't just want to have 10 feral children.
And we were on the same page as far as loving kids, but we were not on the same page as to how many we should have.
Or timing.
And some sometimes of it was Vicky had fears. She'd grown up in a church that had taught a little bit, you know, some notions that caused her to think, oh, we're supposed to have a bunch.
As many as we can, right.
You know, if you use any birth control, then that's you trying to be God. And news alert for those of you that might think that out there, wow, God can do whatever he wants. Birth control can fail. I've been a pastor long enough that I know of families who there was a vasectomy that was paid for, and then they had another baby. So trust me, if God wants you to have another baby, you can have another baby.
But we had to talk through all these things. You know, how
but many? My key thing that I kept coming back to, because I felt it from Scripture, God has called us to disciple and train and lead and love and shepherd every child we have. Not just, oh, could we have another one? I bet we could. And if it's just chaos, wow. Because I knew I'm in the middle of trying to plant a church. I want to do this well. I want to spend time with them. All right, we're going to take a break. We're talking about what should you be talking about that would move you from just superficial treading water on right here, right now, everyday zone of what it takes to do life. And couples that thrive and are healthy have some other important areas they talk about. We'll dig in it some more as soon as we come back.
And we'll be back with more from Brad and Vicky in just a moment. They're talking about couples who dream about the future together. Speaking of the future, let me put one in front of you. Somewhere out there, there's a marriage that's headed for disaster. But it can get pulled back because the right words reach the right couple at the right moment. And you know what? That future possibly depends on this content that you're listening to right now staying alive. And the content stays alive because of people who find it. People just like you. They're called gospel partners. And becoming one takes just a moment. Actually, we want you to spend more than a moment becoming a gospel partner. We actually want you to spend some time praying over it. But all of the answers to all of the questions we know you have, you can find those right now at fortisinstitute.org. If this podcast has ever helped you, or maybe any of the other content from any of the other fellows here at Fortis Institute, if any of it has ever helped you in any way, and you want to make sure that more people in more places all over the world have access to it, consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. That's how you build something for someone else. Now, here's the second piece that I want to share with you today. None of this reaches anybody without a way to listen to it, right? And that's where Fortis Plus comes in. That's what we call our distribution hub. That's where all of the content we're creating actually goes to live so it can come to you. It's free. There's no catch. There's no paywall. Nothing like that. It's sitting on your phone in just a moment. By going to the App Store, you download the apps on your smartphone. You can actually also download it to your smart TV, or you can simply go to fortisplus.org. But however you choose to consume it, make sure that you have Fortis Plus close to you. Hundreds of hours of audio and video content right now, and we're adding to it every single day. Here's the third thing, the one that costs you nothing. Well, actually, everything here costs you nothing. This is something else that costs you nothing, but it does the most. You know a couple right now that's talking about everything except what matters in their marriage. They're talking about bills. They're talking about schedule. They're talking about and arguing about who's taking the kids to practice tomorrow, but never the future. They're never discussing the state of their own marriage and what it looks like to grow old together. Here's what you can do. You can send them this episode. Let Brad and Vicky open a door they didn't know was closed. Send it to them right now. Cost you nothing. Now let's get back to Brad and Vicky. This is Thrive.
Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
All right, we're back. And we're talking about communication in your marriage and what would it look like to use words. And notice how I'm phrasing that. It's a stewardship. God gave us words. God gave us words. Are you using them? And then are you using them well in a way that moves you towards oneness, that you feel more connected? And everything can't be that exciting, I know. But you just need to think every day that you wake up married, the way you will use your words today with your spouse will either move you in a better direction or will create damage.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost never neutral. Like, our day ended and the use of words affected us not at all. That's not true. I've used the illustration before, but marriage is like a parked car on a steep hill in San Francisco. If you don't throw that emergency brake on there, it's rolling backwards. You got no emergency brake. You're either moving backwards or you're moving forward. You're either intentionally giving it a little gas to move your marriage to a better place, or it's rolling backwards.
And I think when we talk about our future dreams and hopes, it kind of gives us a joint sense of purpose and possibility.
Yeah.
And I think that's good to stay on the same page, that you're touching base with each other on a regular basis.
Because what is it that, you know, like it or not, you start off as two individuals. You know, we don't get married at 18 months old. You have spent years becoming you. And there's kind of this bubble around you. In our marriage counseling, I remember Vicky, one of her top areas, because I wrote it down in my prayer journal, she said, I just feel like we're in these two different worlds.
Mm-hmm.
We have these two different worlds, and I would love for them to merge more often. You need to think in terms of that. You've got two different worlds, two different personalities, two different life experiences and stories and preferences and desires. You've got to think, and words are very often what moves you closer together.
And I think we've mentioned in other shows, God does an even greater work when two people are coming together instead of just individuals. It's God's designing. Whenever Brad does a marriage, he has some little phrase that says, today, for the first time, we've rolled off some of this thread. Here's the woman, some of this thread for this family. And now, today, for the very first time, this is a couple, and we don't know how God's going to use them.
That's right.
But that's true. Every couple is
so
unique and different.
I love to say that at a wedding, I'll say, and right now today, we're reeling off some of this beautiful Williams thread. Mm-hmm. Her last name, maiden name, might be Williams. And God has done a marvelous work. And we're reeling off some of this sturdy Jones thread. His last name is Jones. And I say to them, and we're cutting the cord. Doesn't mean their parents are no longer ever involved, but they're no longer the primary relationship. It's leave, weave, and cleave. And I'll say, God today is going to begin to weave a brand new work. Well, very often what weaves is words. Mm-hmm. Words, and words either weave or they wreak havoc and keep you as two separate threads just dangling there, isolated, hurting, lonely. What would move it towards weaving something? And so we're talking about areas that couples touch on that others don't, that make them more healthy. And it means you talk about the state of the relationship. You stay curious about what your spouse is into. You draw them out, say, tell me more. And you talk about the future. You're not stuck. Oh, but listen, not only you're not stuck in the present, please don't live in the past. Hear me. We've said it before, but some of you go historical regularly. You just keep going historical.
In a bad way.
Yeah. Back then, when you, what you, I told you, you never should have. Whew. We're talking about living in the present, and living in the present, for it to thrive, you need a bit of breath air. I call, when you begin to dream and talk about the future, it's almost like you open a window and a little bit of exciting fresh air comes in. Like, what about? What about? What about? And so we've been doing it. We did it to get here with this church plant. We did it as different ministries were raised up. We did it as we talked about kids. How many kids should we have? What should our family look like? Yeah. Even like we would have long talks about what would schooling look like.
Mm-hmm.
These things didn't just, and so what I want you to hear is these conversations didn't just solve a dilemma. After this measure of talking, we felt closer.
Mm-hmm.
We were moving forward as a team.
And we're each bringing our ideas and our thoughts to the table.
And the way we moved forward was adjusted and did not match exactly what one person had been thinking before. Isn't that fair to say?
Yeah, it would.
Exactly what I was thinking is not what we did.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what you were thinking initially is not what we did. we moved forward as a team.
Right.
And that decision had components of each of our thoughts and desires. Future. And so right now we're in a sweet new season. You know, I'm turning 63 soon. We announced to our church a year ago that I'm in a season of succession. We're in a search for a new lead pastor. I just closed out 30 years of being the lead pastor at Grace Fellowship by God's grace. And so I'm going to do two more. But wow, 2 years goes by fast.
Mm-hmm, it does.
So guess what Vicky and I have the privilege of talking about now? What's next? Because mm-hmm. I'm not retiring from Grace Fellowship to watch Jeopardy and to just sit. Oh, it's a matter of redeployment. What would that next season of ministry look like? And so I want Vicky to be a part of that. I dream out loud with Vicky. Do I want to do more conferences? Do I want to write another book? No, I do not want to write another book. I love equipping pastors. You know, Zoom meetings with anybody that wants to talk about leadership development, prayer. How'd you get biblical counseling going in the church? What about?
Yeah, I saw something interesting on Instagram the other day. It was Francis Chan, and he was just saying new young pastors are leaving the ministry in droves. And he was saying there's such a need for older, mature pastors to mentor these guys. It'd just be so wonderful if each young pastor could have an older pastor to share ideas, to say, hey, I have this problem going on with this couple at our church. What would you recommend? And I showed it to Brad. That was one of the things I sent him, like we talked about in the other show.
And that was very encouraging to me. It was affirmation that she's like, oh, honey, I think you'd be
so
good
at
this.
Doing that. Yes.
And then I found myself saying, oh, and I would love it. Mm-hmm. The little bit that I can do that right now, I always love it. Notice what's happening. We're dreaming together about the future. And in a sense, I feel very affirmed and appreciated and supported. Even like with her, I told her the other day, probably just a couple days ago, I said, do you know you are the most amazing wife, mother, and now grandmother. She was just buzzing around, and I was watching her from my chair.
Yeah, one of our grandchildren was sick.
Yeah.
And so he had some type of respiratory infection. And so I thought, I'm going to get up some little stuff and just go visit them and take them some little
treats. She was going to make a house visit, and she was just taking little crafts
and
little things.
Nana's making a house visit.
And so as we dream together, we talk about what Brad could do. But we talk about what Vicky could do more of, and I could help her do, like we talked about Nana Camp, because she's a Nana, and she's a good one. But it's just like, what could we do more of?
Yeah, I would love to have them, like all the kids, you have to be potty trained. That will motivate them to be potty trained, to take them, you know,
so grandkids,
swimming,
if you're listening,
crafts,
if you're tuning
hiking.
In to Thrive, potty train is key. Nana ain't having you over here until you're potty trained.
it's just fun to talk about things we would like to do together once Brad officially retires. And just, that's fun to, you know, once again, not just him doing stuff. I'm thinking of things I would like to do. So it's fun to talk about and dream. And, you know, some of it may not happen, but it's fun to just dream and talk about
it. Doesn't all have to happen. And then even that's just ministry related. How would we want to serve and use our lives? Mm-hmm. But it is not wrong to do a measure of, ooh, I have a Viking cruise catalog on my desk. Once you show an interest, they just pummel you with color photo catalogs, and it is quite...
And we might have mentioned this in the past, but we were at some pastor's conference, and one of the pastors there that's about 5 years ahead of us said, yes, there's three different seasons in ministry.
Yeah.
When you first retire...
Not in ministry, in retirement.
In retirement, the first season's called go-go.
Yep.
While you can still go and not have a walker, you need to go-go. The next phase is
slow-go.
And then, you know, you slow down a little bit, and the third phase is
no-go.
Yes. So, and so while it's go-go,
it's not
wrong.
We've been doing some go-go dreaming. Mm-hmm. And I lived in Spain for 2 years in the 70s when I was a teenager. And it's like, so it's been fun to dream together and thumb through that catalog and say, where would you like to go-go, girl? And we've decided Spain, Barcelona, Italy, Greece, some of the islands. There was a show we watched a few years ago that we both enjoyed. Like, it was like the Dorfus of Corfu, or what was it?
There were some bad parts in
Dorfus,
there.
Dorfus, I don't know. It was some family that lived on an island in Greece, and it was just absolutely beautiful. So we're dreaming, about future ministry opportunities together. We're dreaming about leaning in more intentionally to grandparenting mm-hmm. and relationships. And we're dreaming about places to go. For your marriage to be healthy, it's good to talk about the future. Bring the open a window that gets you a little bit future oriented and not all right here, right now. And it might just breathe some fresh air into your marriage and cause it to thrive.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.